You are now tuned in to the Togetherness Podcast with your hosts, Albany and Dre.
Hello, everybody. You are now tuned in to the Togetherness Podcast with your host, Dre and Albany. Now, before we go any further, there has been an update to this regularly scheduled broadcast. That update, and I'll also say an upgrade, is the addition of Albany Riggins to the Togetherness Podcast. Albany, it has for years been working in the area of marriage and family coaching and counseling and things like that. And she's had a podcast for a long time. She's been encouraging couples on her social media platforms and the clients she's coached. And we decided to just link up, team up, put our resources together, and be able to try to reach as many couples as we can, relationships as we can, together. You know, no pun intended with between the TWO. Just and I'm excited about this opportunity to work closely with Albany as we partner up to put our resources together to really impact families, couples, individuals through this Togetherness Podcast. So thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
You're welcome, Jerry.
I really appreciate it. Okay, so welcome everybody to the Togetherness Podcast with your host, Albany and Dre. We appreciate you guys for watching. Many of you guys have been watching week after week. For those that there have been a couple of weeks where we had to miss it for, and I've been getting messages and phone calls saying, Andre, are you guys on? What's happening? No, you guys can't do this to us. We need you. So I'm excited that you guys are excited about this podcast. I really appreciate your support. Without you, this wouldn't be happening. So you guys make it all worthwhile. And we're hoping that we're helping you guys out in some way. And if you know somebody that would benefit from watching this podcast, listening to the podcast, please, please, please share it out to as many people as you can. I don't proclaim to be like an expert or a love guru. I'm a guy who got a divorce, failed in his marriage, got his master's degree in marriage and family counseling, hoping to help couples and marriages that was in a situation that I was in a couple of years ago get out of that situation in a way that they grow closer together and that would strengthen their marriage. And that's who I am. And I want Albany to introduce herself.
Okay, I am Albany Riggins, a relationship coach and author, and I too went through so many experiences in my life. I went through, at a young age, I was involved with a lot of conflict in my life. I had a lot of fear, and I also went through many layers of experiencing hurt and pain in relationships. I saw pain in relationships. I experienced pain in relationships. I went on a journey to try to find out the foundational pieces to what really makes a relationship strong and balanced. And I looked to the eyes of my family members. And then I went on this journey where I just began to just kind of piece everything together through helping others do the same thing. But I ended up failing again. And from that experience, you know, just through life experience, I just kind of grow and learn and educate and learn more and just to better do relationships every time.
Yeah. And I guess we're in the same boat in that area where we just want to grow, you know.
Yeah.
Neither of us pretend to have all the answers, but whatever answers we do have, we want to be able to give to you guys. So thank you guys so much for listening, watching, and I am excited about what God is going to do with this, with both of us linking up to get this done. All right. Now, you can listen to this podcast in a couple of platforms through Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, after we air live. So please share this podcast out. And we are going to discuss other ways that you could support this podcast. But for now, the one way you can support us is by sharing it. If you're listening on Get Vocal, please click the tweet button, the Facebook share button, the Google Plus button while it's still there, the LinkedIn button, the email, send it to everybody in your email address book. If you're watching on Facebook right now, please share it out to everybody you can. We really want to be able to help people, help couples. This is about a life, marriage, and relationships. And we want to help you guys build stronger relationships in general. Albin, if you can, just share with them a little bit about how they can reach you and how.
Okay. You can reach me out on Facebook and Instagram at Albany Riggins. Facebook at Albany Riggins Relationship Coach. You can also email me at support@albanyriggins.com. And my website is albanyriggins.com.
All right. And I have a couple of ways. Now, I have this new thing that I'm doing. I'm going to try it out. Did it come up? Did it come up? Can everybody see the social media stuff? This is brand new OBS. I'm trying this. So I'm not sure which. All right, here is my YouTube channel. You guys can go there or go to youtube.com, search Harrison Family Vlogs, and here is all my social media information. So please check that out when you get a chance. I really appreciate it. Follow us, ask us questions, engage with us. We really want to connect with you guys in a real and genuine way. All right. Also, wedding season is approaching. And I'm not sure if you know this, but if you are in the market of getting married and you would like to get married or you are getting married, premarital counseling helped reduce the risk of divorce by 30%. And if you would like to receive any kind of counseling or coaching services for premarital services, you can hit me up or hit Albany up, and we'll be more than happy to help get you guys prepared for a lifelong, loving relationship together for as long as you live. All right? All right, first I want to also acknowledge some people that are in the room. We got So-So Steph, Badges, Leah, the life coach. Where you been, sis? Where you been? It's been a minute that you've been on Get Vocal, at least since I've seen you on Get Vocal. So it's good to have you on the show. Jada, as always, thank you for your support. Boogie, the bro. Tony, what's going on? Hey, LA, Toronto. And Patricia, Pat, how's everybody doing? I see you guys lighting up the chat room. Please engage with us. And if you guys have any questions or would like to join in, grab a spot. The seat's open for you. And everybody watching on Facebook, hey, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate you all. If you guys have any questions or comments, please type them in. We will read them live for you on the podcast. All right. So now let's get into the topic of the day. When I was younger, right, I wasn't like a fighter. I wasn't a thug. I wasn't a fighter. But one thing I knew was that if I went somewhere and I rolled deep with my boys, I felt secure. Like I felt like nobody can touch me. I can say and do whatever I want. And I was good because I knew my boys had my back, right? Like I felt secure. Like nothing can touch me. Nothing could stop me. I just felt really, really, really secured, right? And when you go into situations feeling secured, there's a level of confidence that you have, a level of confidence that same kind of confidence that would also spill out on people around you. When it comes to relationships, sometimes we go into relationships and we haven't found ourselves yet, and we haven't found our, secure base. So what tends to happen is that we go into relationships extremely insecure, not ready to be in a relationship. And that insecurity causes strain, not just to the individual who's insecure, but also to the person they're trying to be with and the relationship itself. So today we are going to be talking about how you can find your security, right? How to find security in yourself before being secured in a relationship. And this is important because some of us will try to find security in a relationship and think that we're good. In fact, what you should be trying to do is find security within yourself, then go into a relationship. And that relationship will be secured by having two secured individuals entering into that relationship. What do you think, Albany?
I absolutely agree. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to get into this, all right? Security is an important thing, not just even for relationships. Almost any situation you get into, it's a good thing to be securing yourself when you go into it. When a person is secured, they display self-confidence, self-control. They're able to self-regulate, which is a very important thing in relationships. And maybe you can sound off on this also, Albany. When people who are insecure in themselves, they're not able to self-regulate. So even in relationships, when people get into arguments, an emotional hot button is pushed, they tend to explode because they can't self-regulate or self-cope to bring themselves back to a secure base, right. You know, back to baseline.
I think that a lot of times also, when you said self-regulate, it's about knowing how to have authority, power, control, authority, and influence over your own life. And being that you know how to manage your thoughts, everything should be done with an intent in order for you to have the confidence, the security, certainty is one of the things that I would want to bring to a point is that we need some of these things that we need. We have to have these things in order for us to feel secure. And that state of, you know, like that state of stress and strain and fear that we have when we go into relationships and we're not confident in ourselves, we experience those things. But a lot of the times that what we need to be making sure that we're doing is that we have those things as far as the certainty, the confidence, the ability to have a mental state of mind, a healthy mental state of mind. Mm-hmm. I think that we also should be able to have that control, like you said, control of, you know, being able to manage your thoughts, but also being able to influence, knowing the outcomes that you make, the decisions you make. I feel like we should know the outcomes to every decision that we make because we're certain within ourselves, right?
Yeah.
You have to have love for yourself as well.
Yeah.
I think that you definitely got to love yourself. What are some other things, Dre, that you would like to bring out?
Well, before I get there, I want to read some of the comments. So Steph wants some pre-dating help. So we'll see if we can help out with that. But Tony was saying that I've learned that I have learned that I have to take myself seriously. If I don't, then no one else will. So that's the best way I've found that I'm finding my security in myself. Very good. Steph said, I feel very insecure in the start of a relationship, which makes me want to end things quickly. I agree with you, Elephant Room says, or LA says. Yeah, but I think I agree with everything that you were saying, and I like how you mentioned self-love,
right?
And we go into relationships, and a lot of times, and we're going to touch on this a little bit later, we go into, I guess, trying to figure out how somebody else is going to love us, mm-hmm. but not really considering how I'm going to love that person,
right?
And we can't really, the reason why we don't consider that is because we need this person to love us because we really never loved ourselves. Now, you know that you're in a relationship with somebody who is secure when they go in, not conceited, but very in love with who they are, happy and content with who they are. And I'm not saying content in a way that they settled where they are. They love themselves to the point where they're working on themselves continuously. And that love shows. And when they're able to love themselves, they're able to show love to somebody else and not only require love to be given to them. Right. So that loving yourself is very, very important. Boogie says in the chat room that I find that deconstructing the things that I have learned and really understand this human experience makes me be at peace with the self I know now. Yeah. Yeah. And Jada wrote confident with an exclamation point. Yeah. And just to respond to Social Steph, and I mentioned this a couple of shows ago, a lot of times our history and our experiences create attachment challenges, right. Which is why some of us, and I experienced that too, especially right after my divorce, when I would go into a relationship, I wasn't really secure. And that affected my attachment style at that particular moment in my life. And I was insecure in my attachments with people, and I didn't trust it. And so I can definitely relate to what you're saying, Steph. All right. So those are some things that people need to be able to do those are some of the signs of when they are self-confident or when they do have a self-security. Also, one big key thing that people do who are self-secure is that they build people up around them.
Right.
They build people up around them. There's a scripture that I love in Romans 15, 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. If we are able to model this, that's evidence, that's proof that we have a secure base within ourselves. When we're able to build people up, and I tell my sons this all the time. My 11-year-old, he's not that great in basketball yet, but he's always mouthing off, talking about how good he is and trying to prove with his mouth how good he is. So I ask him, okay, if you're that good, right, how are you making everybody else around you better? If you're that good and you're that self-confident and you're that self-secured, how are you making everybody else around you better? I'm not sure what just happened. I got kicked out. Can everybody see me? Yeah, I know. Alex, Giselle, we got to talk. I'm not sure what just happened, but I am happy that it's still recording. When it happened with Dr. Vibe, it stopped recording, but it's still recording. All right. Albany, I'm not sure what happened. We got kicked out, but we're back. So I was teaching my sons that if you are confident, if you are secured in yourself, then you're going to look to make everybody else around you better. Again, Romans 15, 1, 2 says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, not our good, but their good, and to build him or her up. Yeah, it may have been a site update. All right, I still can't see you yet, Albany. Keep trying if you can. Working out the kinks. By the way, if you guys didn't have a chance to watch the show last night with Kente, he had Alex and Giselle. Very informative, great show. I learned a lot. Learned a lot about the heart behind Get Vocal. And if you're watching on Facebook, and if you're not a part of Get Vocal yet, I recommend that you connect with Get Vocal, get on Get Vocal, and I'll leave the link in the comments so that you could check it out, especially if you have content that you want to be able to share out to people. All right, so I'll put that in there right now for you guys watching on Facebook. All right, yes. All right, so I'm going to keep going, and hopefully I can get Albany back. Try going out and coming back in if you see if that works, Albany. All right. Now, how insecure people create insecure relationships. Albany, refresh your page if you can. See if you can refresh your page. Oh, yeah. LA brought some really key points, really good points. I think it's important to know how things deplete you. LA wrote, I think it's important to know how things that deplete you, know the things that deplete you, because so many factors impact someone's ability to show up and be present. Very good. That's very true. Being aware of what's happening around you in your life and identifying those things that do deplete you. Extremely important. Insecure people create insecure relationships as well. One of those things that happens in a insecure relationship is codependency, like a negative sense of codependency. I had a discussion recently with LA, in fact, about codependency and interdependency and the difference. And codependency could be extremely unhealthy in a relationship, where interdependency could more or less strengthen the relationship. Welcome back. Glad to have you back, Albany. All right. We moved on to how insecure people create insecure relationships. And the first point we're talking about is codependency in a relationship. And how people can be codependent on each other for emotional identity, and how that can actually cripple a relationship.
Right.
it. Ellie wrote, it doesn't mean that you are not ready for a relationship. You just might be tired. Yeah, very true. But what is your input, Albany, about codependency for emotional identity in a relationship?
I think that that's a tough thing because it goes on both sides. Sometimes you think that the codependency comes from the other person, where they are dependent or they have these unhealthy attachments to you, and it causes you to enable certain behaviors. But there are also behaviors and things that you may be doing that's in your relationship that attaches you to that up to your spouse in a way, and it negatively affects your partner. So it goes both ways, and you got to understand that there's a relationship that you are in together, and you are one together in marriage. But as you walk side by side together, you got to understand that you both have to come and be interdependent, have your own life, be able to withstand a healthy balance in your relationship and walk together as one, but also as two separate individuals, being able to be self-sufficient, being able to add value, like Dre was saying, you know, being of service to one another, but actually freely giving love to one another in a healthy way, where you're not taking from the partner or putting stress on the relationship, but you're both interdependently working together and doing the work together to improve the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's important. And when you're insecure, it's hard to have that.
It is.
It's hard to have that in a relationship when you have, even if it's just one insecure person in the relationship. And that scripture that I mentioned before could apply to that. Right. But it wouldn't be fair for the other person to have to hold all that weight for a person's emotional state or their insecurity in a relationship. It's going to break the other person. And if you really care for the other person, you got to be able to say, listen, I'm not in a good space right now, and I'm going to do more harm to you. Now, you may be able to fill me up, but I'm not going to be able to return it, and it's going to break you, and I can't do that.
Right.
Boogie wrote, boundaries are key. And we got Jada joining us. Hey, Jada.
Hey. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to kind of pick you guys said, because there was a point in time where I was so just depending on the relationship that I forgot about myself. Like, I was so invested in the relationship that I forgot to take care of me, and I forgot to put me first, where it was just all like that was all that I thought about, and I was so consumed that everything else fell to the wayside, and then eventually the relationship failed as well, because I think where I wasn't doing my part, he wasn't doing his part, and we needed to be a part in order to get our stuff straightened out and then come back, you know what I mean, once we were in a healthier space with ourselves before we could be in a great space with each other. And so I just wanted to piggyback off of that and say it's very true. So and you really have to find yourself in order to then benefit or help be in a healthy relationship, you know? So I think that's really important. You guys definitely mentioned a lot of great key points. I just wanted to piggyback off of that because I experienced it myself. But, and again, we're all learning. So I think at times you don't realize it when you're in it until something drastic happens or someone else has the ability to towards you, where you're like, hey, you know, I've noticed you've been doing X, Y, and Z. You've been neglecting A, B. Do you want to just kind of bear in until someone else, you know, lets them know?
Ebony.
And that's one thing that I always try to identify with when I talk to women.
can always see. Somebody on the outside can always see better than you can in the inside. When you're in your situation, you have so many blind spots that you can't see the behaviors, the patterns, all the activities that you're doing, that you're indulging yourself in this relationship. And you don't realize that you're missing a lot of the things that you really need to establish from the beginning. And so when you were talking, I wanted to share these thoughts about when we're in these relationships, I think that we got to go back to the basics of things, because one of the things that I believe that we have to have when we're connecting and we're bonding with our partners or finding new love and relationships is that we got to go back to the fact that we need to attach ourselves and be able to identify our core values. The things that really matter the most to us is the things that we need to make sure that they're in alignment in the relationships that we're attaching ourselves to. Because when we don't find that, we don't find the core values, I don't know, three core values that you really, really have to have in your life in every situation, everything that you do, I feel like it should be an alignment with the partner that you choose, that they have the same similar values as you. Because if you don't, when you go into that relationship, you begin to experience life together, you will start feeling like you are betraying yourself because you're not staying committed to what you truly value, the things that really matter to you, how you love. I mean, for me, my values are love, freedom, and I really feel like honor is one of the biggest things that I want to have in my life. So everything that I do, everything I touch, I want to love it. I want to have freedom in doing it. I want to have honor. So if you get in a relationship, I think it's really good to be able to go back to the basics. I just can't. What are my core values? Have similar values as I do. What are the non-negotiables? What are the standards that we have? And then are you living according to the purpose and the plan that you know that you wanted for your life?
Yeah.
Staying in alignment with that, I think, will kind of help you. But it's good to have accountability partners. I think we should do life with accountability. I think I'm getting some feedback, right?
Say that again.
You hear some feedback?
An echo. Maybe it's not the volume. If we could turn the volume down just a little bit, that may work. Yeah, let's try that.
Yeah,
let's try
that.
Maybe it's me. I'm going to get off and I'm going to see, okay?
Is that better?
Yeah, it sounds a little better. Yeah, I think it was your volume, Jada.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there was something that I wanted to ask you that Boogie asked. Let me scroll back up so I can get that. He asked, and maybe you could touch on this also. Can we touch on mental health and how it plays in codependency in a relationship?
Oh, wow. I can talk about this topic a little bit. I have experienced it. I've had, you know, people that I've dealt with in relationships that had experiences with mental health. And when you are in a relationship, whether it's you or your partner that has a mental health issue, one of the biggest things that you're going to find yourself in is that you have to be willing to do your part. But not only that, your partner has to be willing to play their part, right? And when you have a person that has a mental health that's been psychologically diagnosed or through a certified doctor that they have a mental health issue, it is going to take pace. It's going to take time and consideration to the highest degree in order to do life with this partner. So you have to go in or be in the relationship with a very open mind to understand that there are going to be some ups and downs. There are going to be some roller coasters, and you got to understand that you got to walk this path and this journey with them, and you got to truly be committed. I mean, really committed to saying, hey, you know, we got to do, sometimes you got to go to the doctor's appointments and you got to find the solution to when they are not taking their meds, or if they're taking meds and the medicines are causing them to react a certain different kind of way, whether they are not sleeping well, or whether they're sleeping too much and it's affecting the relationship. How do you cope with that type of thing? Well, one of the things that you have to do is be willing to talk about it. We have to be patient, but we have to be willing to talk, but you also got to hold them accountable too. Because both parties have to be willing to do the work. And it's not an easy journey. what was that someone said? Is it important to identify the type of mental health? They don't all show up the same. Correct. You can also cause more harm when you start trying to diagnose your partner. Yes, you can.
But you know what? People do that in arguments, don't they? You know, like they don't know what the issue is. And they'll just name out stuff. You know, listen, you get out of my face with your bipolar self. I don't want to deal with your nonsense right now. Leave me alone. And you start diagnosing in arguments. Stop diagnosing your partner, man. Mm-hmm. It's not your job. You're not a mental health professional. Have them see the professional.
But I do think that it's healthy to be able to identify patterns, and you can silently observe these things and just kind of identify that these are some unhealthy patterns, and that maybe these patterns and the behaviors that you're seeing need some medical attention, right? Because some things we can just say, oh, they in a bad mood, but see, it could be so much more deeper than that. So I think that you need to have healthy conversations, but like Dre was saying, don't try to diagnose, but you know, when you add value to a person, you lift them up. You don't allow them to feel less than. So when you begin to speak to your partner, you feel like, hey, these are some unhealthy patterns that I'm seeing. One day you're up, the next day you're down. Hey, we really need to seriously sit down and talk. And I want to see, how can I support you in this? You know, I think that when we come from a place of love and life-giving, I think that we can get a better result. Now, it's up to that person to decide if they want to get help and seek some attention. And sometimes they may not be willing to do it. And you just have to be patient and decide, are these behaviors, putting me in a place where I have to do something? I have to make a decision about where I'm at in this relationship. So that's part of being secure. You know, you being healthy, but your partner needs to be healthy. And if your partner's not healthy, then you're not going to feel secure in your relationship.
Yeah, very true. I agree. And I think some of us have this very negative thinking about mental health. And if we are going to see a psychiatrist, even if it's for marriage-related problems, we tend to think, you know, this is somebody trying to tell me that I'm mentally crazy. It's not the case. The mind itself needs to be healthy. You know, when we get sick, we go to the doctor. In fact, many of us go for annual checkups to make sure everything is working properly. You know, and I think sometimes we just need to go to a therapist or a counselor or a coach just for a brain, a mind, a thinking tune-up to help us get better with our thinking. And that it goes again to Romans 15:1-2. It goes back to that.
I think that that's good about doing that mental checkup. It's important. A lot of times you don't really think about it, but you got to go back to self and figure out, okay, am I thinking right, and knowing how to manage those thoughts. Because sometimes where you think that, okay, this person's just off the top and they all over the place, but really and truly, people that have mental health issues, they struggle so hard to maintain their thoughts and manage them. And that's where they need the most help, because their emotions are going off the thoughts that they're having, and sometimes they're not always good.
Yeah, very true. I wanted to talk to you about this, about happiness and how that's found. Because people who are insecure, they seek the partner to make them happy, and it creates a dependency. And happiness, when they are dependent on their person, the other person, or their spouse, or the person they're dating to be happy, it's motivated by stimulus and how they're stimulated. And if they're stimulated the wrong way, their moves, their actions would fluctuate a whole lot, because they're not secure in themselves. So what do you think about that happiness aspect, and how that works within somebody that's insecure?
So first of all, I want people to understand, we need to stop saying this word, that they complete me. Let's just get that out of our
vocabulary. Yeah, Jerry Maguire ruined us.
Right. I mean, we watched that movie and we got messed up. But anyway, no one completes you. You're compatible. And what you do is, when you're in the relationship and you feel like this person makes me feel fulfilled, there's that piece again that we talked about in the beginning, that unhealthy state where you're codependent. You can recognize that early in a relationship when you're with someone and you feel like, oh, this person completes me, this person makes me feel happy. Well, when we're in these relationships, if we can't find happiness within ourselves, then we are really in a place of where we are dependent on that other person to bring us the happiness. So I really feel like is that you better get happy about you real fast and real quick and learn what really makes you happy. Because if you go into that relationship depending on that person to bring the fulfillment of happiness, what are you going to do when they're not there, when they're not able, or when their attention is off focus, or they're busy, and you're going to feel empty? You don't want to feel empty in relationship. You want to feel fulfilled. So you got to find that place in you. And one way to do it is that you need to sit down and really have a great connection with yourself to identify what really makes you happy. You know, what things in life make you happy? Dre, what do you think about that?
That's extremely important. Again, it reminds me of a book that I read called His Needs, Her Needs. And when people who are insecure, they go into relationships and they automatically start liking the things that the other person like, when they really never liked it in the first place. And they, mm-hmm. they take on that identity. It reminds, what's that movie? The Runaway Bride with Julia Roberts. Yeah. Before she was able to find herself, she was into everything that all her ex-boyfriends was into. Even to how she liked her eggs. Yeah, like even to the how she liked her eggs. And what happened? That's she wound up running away from guy after guy after guy after guy because she didn't know who she was.
Exactly. You know? She had no self-identity.
So she knew how to make herself happy. You know? And I think that's important. You got to know who you are. You got to be able to make yourself happy. Oh, there's something that my first wife said. She didn't know we were married, Lauren Hill. She didn't know we were married. But she said... she was at doing a lecture about love, right? And how she tied love to stimulus, and how many of us don't really know what love is, right? Or happiness is, and how we love what stimulates us, right? We appreciate and love what stimulates us, but when it no longer stimulates us, you know, we don't love it anymore. And that's also another sign of an insecure base. If you need somebody to consistently stimulate you, right, in that way, then you're not secure. You don't know what love is. You're not secure in yourself, and you're not ready to be in a relationship.
You said something. You said if you need constant stimulus from this person, mm-hmm. then you're not actually experiencing love. That's not love.
Yeah.
That's just an emotion.
What's that?
That's just an emotion that you feel. It's not really defined as love. It's not love. Mm-hmm. What is that? Infatuation?
Definitely infatuation. Right. Definitely infatuation. Yeah. Oh, can I break that? Can I repeat that? All right. So she said that we love what stimulates us, but when it no longer stimulates us, we don't love it anymore. She even talked about how in Western civilization, we use love for almost anything. I love my car. I love my job. And how many of us loved our jobs in the very beginning? And then when we were no longer stimulated by it anymore, we don't love it. That kind of thing. And it goes into relationships with people as well. We want people to always stimulate us. And when we're not stimulated, you know, we're ready to bounce. Our commitments are loose, which hopefully we'll have time to talk about as well. So we shouldn't look for people to continually and consistently stimulate us. If we need that from one person or multiple people, then we have an insecure base and we have to stop, self-reflect, because, you know, that's what I love to do, self-reflect and say, why is it that my relationships are so loose? Like, why is it that I can cut people off as fast as I can when I'm no longer stimulated by them? Why is that? You know, Shannon writes, that's fanship. And there's a couple of other comments that I wanted to read earlier. Boogie said, I believe also that sometimes we put our partners on such a pedestal that we tend to think they are perfect. When they're humanist shows up, they get chastised. We have to be real. Very true.
I think that's a good point to talk about the expectation, that we have to remove the expectation, because we do put so much pressure on the individual, thinking that, hey, I expect this from you, but at the same time, you're human. And we got to know that they're going to make the same mistakes. We're just like we're going to make mistakes, they're going to make mistakes. And we got to be willing to just be patient and kind of go through the process of things together.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the flip side to that, when people think you're perfect, you have this pressure on you to actually always have to perform. So now, if I'm put on the pedestal, if I'm put on the pedestal, now I have to show up. Now I have to perform. Now I got to stimulate you. That's not fair. There's Netflix for that. Like, I just want to be able to be me. Like, don't put that on me. It's not fair. But.
So let me make my mistakes and learn from them.
And please love me through it.
Exactly.
Love me through it. All right. And actually, somebody who is secure, they're not afraid to make mistakes. Right. Somebody who is secure will sense, all right, you're putting me on a pedestal. I'm probably going to disappoint you. I'm human. I know that. All right. But I will stick through it all. Like, I will be the best person I can be for you. That's security. Holding yourself accountable. Yeah. And also, when it goes into that, how insecure people create insecure relationships, they have a me first or me only mindset in a relationship. So again, that goes into stimulate me. I need you to do this for me. I need you to make me feel this way. And then it creates a lot of pressure on the other person. And again, not putting people on a pedestal, which we probably all have done at one point in our lives, where we put somebody on a pedestal. I'm quick to knock myself off the pedestal. I'll tell people, listen, I'm going to disappoint you. Like, I'm not perfect. And as much as I try my hardest to live my life not having to say sorry, I'm willing to, because I will mess up. Yeah. You know, so
I just try to avoid saying sorry. So sometimes I hide. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about this? Negative thoughts. People that always think negatively about other people. Like, right. Some of us have gone on dates with somebody, and they have something critical to say about everybody and everything they see, even down to the food that's served on their table, right? Like this person, right? And I'm not sure if this is you, but if it's you, please forgive me. I'm not trying to offend this person who orders water and only water, right? And they see something floating in the water. Oh my goodness gracious, there's something floating in my water. No, come here. No, I want a free meal because I got this floating in my free water that I ordered. I'm not gonna, see? Like, always critical. Or this person who you may be walking down the street with and see somebody with some messed up J's, right? Wow, how can he go outside wearing those kind of J's? Or, now I would not be driving that kind of car because, no, you're not going to see me in that. Like, there's some people out there that have this kind of really negative thinking, and they think critically about everybody else in a negative way without being positive at all. Be careful of that. That's also a sign of being very insecure. You know, they see things strictly at an aesthetic plane, where things have to appear a certain way. And again, that goes along the lines of always having to perform, always having to show out. People who are insecure have to show people what they have. And President Obama said it best recently when it came to, he was on stage with Steph Curry, and he was talking about insecurity. He says, I'm secure in my manhood. I don't need 8 women dancing around me, shaking their butts, because I'm secure in my manhood. You know, like right. it's, you know, you don't need anybody else to validate what you have or who you are when you're securing yourself. And in the same right. token, you don't have to have anybody validate themselves to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they want to wear, you know, a pair of Payless sneakers because it makes them feel good. Leave them alone. In fact, if they can walk around confidently in Payless sneakers, that is the ultimate sign of security. Ladies, jump that on that man.
Right.
Jump on that man. Jump on he that is secure man. Himself.
And I think that one thing that is ego, you know, ego driven, and what it does to the relationship, it really makes the other person feel like they got a competition, competing for their attention, competing for their time, just compete. And it will drain you. It will deprive you. It will do so many things to you in that relationship. And you will not, again, be secure in that type of relationship if you're with someone that has that type of mentality.
Mm. LA asks, can we speak on how shame prevents people from having authentic interactions?
Yes, it can. Shame.
You wanna tap on that for a little bit?
I think that one thing, and I can speak on this. I can be honest for a moment here on this topic about shame. I lived in shame, and I've experienced shame off and on. And it's nothing to be ashamed of, really, to be honest with you. It's just accepting the fact that, okay, what you've experienced in your life is just what it is. You are not responsible for your partner's behavior. You are only responsible for your behavior. But what shame does, it makes you want to hide. Shame makes you want to not be able to allow yourself to go through the process of like sharing your experience or even being able to talk to your partner about what has happened or what they've done to you or how it made you feel. You'll hide and you'll act like everything is okay when everything is not. You know that you need to uncover some of this stuff that you got hidden down in the deep crevices of your heart. And instead, you don't even want to talk about it. So if you don't want to talk about it, how can you free yourself from those things? So you're walking around in life and you got all the shame from a bad failed relationship. Maybe you was the victim, maybe you was the victor, you know, or whatever the case may be. And you feel like, hey, I walked away from something that I felt like was doing me no good. And I feel like I failed myself because I even entered into that type of relationship, right? And so instead of you dealing with the reasons behind, okay, what was it in me? Because you chose that partner, right? What was the thing in me that I need to deal with in order for me to define why I was allowing myself to be in that type of relationship in the beginning, right? And so shame will make you not even want to go there. Shame will make you hide from I feel like I need some help, right? I need to fix these issues. But instead, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to seek any help. I'm not even going to talk about it. I just keep it covered. It is a bondage. It is a level of bondage. I see Shannon said that it's definitely a level of bondage. She said that some people can't let go because of pride and ego, right? And yes, LA, if you're afraid of the rejection behind being vulnerable, safe spaces, you will miss out on many opportunities to be authentic in relationships with people. And that is so true. Hands on, I can agree. Totally agree. I have experienced that myself.
Yeah, but LA also writes that it is wrong when a partner uses your vulnerability against you. This is where the shame shows up. And also, you got to look, we're talking about insecurities or creating a secure base. A person who is willing to exploit your vulnerability to make you feel shame is insecure in themselves. That's a huge sign of insecurity as well in themselves. So, boy, this is some good talk, man. I need to self-reflect. This is good. This is really good. Go ahead.
Right. Let me ask you this. It was a thought that came to my mind about like you got shame because there was some pain, right? There was some hurt and pain. Mm-hmm. But you want to really be authentic with yourself and be able to say, hey, you know, I went through this or I'm going through this or whatever. But when you've had so much hurt and you sometimes find yourself not trusting. Can we talk on that? Because when you've had pain in your life, sometimes you feel you're not secure in yourself to even be able to want to share because of the hurt.
Yeah. And that's something that a lot of people do experience. They're not right. willing to open up. First off, they built a wall because they weren't able to trust people, or the people that they trust in the past let them down right. in a way that they fed the shame, and they exploited mm-hmm. them and sort of exposed them in a way not to help them, but to show everybody, look at this person and look at all their flaws. So mm-hmm. we built walls around because of that shame to guard ourselves. The dangerous thing is when we become numb to it and we don't care anymore about what people think. Now we should be, how do I say this? Because I want to make sure I say it correctly. What people think shouldn't motivate us in a way that would make us do something good or bad, right? However, our name and who we are speaks mm-hmm. volumes, right?
Right.
So I know of people that have gone through so much and were in situations where people have broken their trust in major ways to the point where they mm-hmm. let everything go. They don't care what anybody thinks. They say whatever they want, act however they want. And if somebody who loves them say, listen, you're on a destructive path, they don't care about that either right. because they've gone to the place of, I don't care anymore. I'm going to do me and only me. So who cares what they want or what people want or what people have to say, more or less, and please excuse the expression, like F the world. Like, you know, it's all about me now. That's also a dangerous mm-hmm. place also. And that's rooted in insecurity, rooted in insecurity. And a lot of people, that's because that shame that LA was talking about that you mentioned was exploited and exposed in a way that it wasn't helpful to the person that needed that exposure, but not to be exploited, to bring healing, to have people around them, to love on them, to encourage them, to bring them through it. And it's tough. And you gotta also surround yourselves around people that are genuine and that really, really, really care for you. Not everybody that you hang out with has your best interest. Some of those people are insecure, and every good thing you have, they're talking behind your back about, oh, look at them. They think they better than us. They think they better than us. How dare, you know, be careful, because there's people out there. And when it's time for you to need support, those people will pounce on you, step on you, and make you regret having people in your life anyway, putting you in a situation where you had to put walls up and not trusting anyone. So be careful with who you allow into your circle, because they'll hold that shame and make you feel even more insecure about yourself.
So is it safe to say that overly confident people have a sense of low self-esteem? It's like a wall that, or what do you call it? Like they got the, how would I want to say it, Dre? Like I've seen somebody that I have watched and they're very overly confident, but I see behind the curtain that there is so much insecurity. So we have to watch for those signs too. Just because a person is appearing so confident doesn't mean that they're not insecure. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you were saying. Yeah.
Like a perfect example is the commander in chief. I can, every time he speaks, I can tell that there's a level of insecurity in him.
Right.
I can tell. And, We can tell also because they tend to talk a lot about themselves.
Right.
They want to be seen. They have mm-hmm. to have position, but not just position. They got to be over people and have position over people. Now, again, one of the signs of somebody who is secure, even if they are looking for position, when they're looking for mm-hmm. position and leadership, they're looking to help, support, and serve others around them. People who are secure build up people around them. That is the ultimate sign. If I'm in a relationship and I'm secure in myself, I'm looking to build up the person I'm with, and vice versa. That's how security is identified. That's the ideal situation when it comes to having a secure base in a relationship. Shannon writes, no one is perfect. Anyone with any good discernment of people would know that you are not operating at their best. Unless they too are less than broken people. Broken people attract other broken people. Either your spirits attract or your demons do. All right. Yeah. Very true. Very true. Yeah. So it's 9:03, right? And we're supposed to end at 9 o'clock. Can we give 5 more minutes? Is five more minutes okay? All right, Shannon says yes. Everybody else, yes? All right, 5 more minutes. All right. Ten if I like. Boogie says, I think the important question is how does one deal with shame so it has less chances of being exploited, in if that's possible. How do you think people could deal with shame so that it isn't exploited?
So I think the way that you should deal with shame is that you first got to do, you know, I think that you got to examine yourself and be able to be willing to acknowledge, you know, what mistakes has been made or what has happened in your life. So I think that's the first thing, is acknowledging it and then accepting it. To go through these stages, you got to break it down and say, you know what, acknowledge the mistakes or the things that you've experienced, and then willing to accept the fact that, hey, I have been through here. I've done this. This has happened. And I'm okay with it. You know, it's just like a vicious cycle that we keep going through in life. And if we don't never acknowledge that, hey, this stuff keeps happening, but I'm high from it. Where is the acknowledgement? Where is the just acceptance? And so we can get it right, so we can give it some attention. So I think, Boogie, that's the one thing about it, is that we got to get good with the stuff that we got going on, so that, hey, when somebody else on the outside brings it up, we're good because we already have accepted that within ourselves. What do you think, Andre?
Well, I just want to read a comment on Facebook real quick. Edwin Rodriguez, right? Narcissism has every negative characteristic you can think of in the book. Arrogant, manipulative, boastful, etc. Very true. And Tracy Caver writes, I think there is a difference between conceit and confidence. Conceited people thrive on exterior stimulation because they don't have it within. Confident flows from within. So I think they're saying conceit flows outward. It's very surface, but confidence is from within. And
from flows within, outward. It comes out.
Very deep.
Yes, right.
Very deep. Yeah. I wrote in the chat, another thing is people got to accept that they're not perfect themselves.
Right.
And once you do that, don't fear that other people don't see you as perfect.
Right.
And third, if whatever it is that you're going through is out there, don't be afraid that people are going to look at you any differently. The chances are they will. It's going to happen because they're human also. Just like we're human, they're human.
Right.
We have to get to the point where we're considerate about what people think. But our main concern is, how can I grow from whatever it is? Because if we're so consumed with what people think about us because of a mistake or a flaw that we have, we're not going to grow from it. That means that the next time we're going to try to work better so that we're not exposed, instead of ourselves, so that we don't have to fear that exposure, you know, or not putting ourselves in a situation like that again. But yeah. Oh man, I don't know what to do because I don't want to end it. I got like kids to check homework, and I don't know what to do, guys. Jada says a part two, so I think we should definitely do a part two. And in fact, we'll make some changes and we'll continue this next week for part two.
All right,
yes. We'll do that. Okay. Aren't we on part three? True. All right. Hey, guys, thank you guys so much for watching on Facebook. Thank you so much for watching YouTube. Thank you so much for watching. And Get Vocal, lighting up the chat room. Jada, thank you for coming in. I do want to mention everybody that's here. LA, Boogie, Jada, Tony, Patricia, Shannon, everybody that was commenting. Jada, thank you for coming in. Tracy, Edwin, everybody else that was commenting, I appreciate you guys so much for engaging with us in this conversation on this topic. Insecurity is one of those things that we overlook a lot. We look at relationships and we see the surface, but sometimes it's good to go deep when it comes to talking about relationships and especially if we want to have a thriving, long-lasting, loving relationship. But we're going to have to take this and continue this next week for part two. Albany, I really appreciate this opportunity to link up with you so that we can do this. I really do.
Yeah.
Again, if you can share your social media contact or your contact information so that people can get in touch with you.
Yes, thank you, Dre. I'm excited about joining forces with you here too. So if anyone would like to talk with me, connect with me, you can go on Facebook at Albany Riggins Life Coach. Albany Riggins Relationship Coach. And then on Instagram at Albany Riggins. You can also go to my website at albanyriggins.com. And then make sure that you type in E-L-B-O-N-Y. I know some people spell it with just E-B, but it's with an L. And also, if you would love from some additional support, you can go to support@albanyriggins.com.
All right. And same with me. I'll put it up. I'm trying this new thing. There it is. Again, I'm not good with the fingers. Here is my social media information. And right here is my YouTube channel with my kids. You guys can go. It's fancy, right, bro? I'm trying to step it up. I'm trying. Let's see how it goes. See how it goes, LA. But again, I really appreciate everybody engaging with us in this topic. It's important. And every week you guys have been with us. This is the 15th episode. Next week will be the 16th. We'll be airing live once again Thursday, March 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Man, I love, appreciate you all. Thank you so much for tuning into the Togetherness Podcast. Is there any final words you would like to leave everybody off with, Albany?
I would like to just say, go back to the basics, everybody. Go back to the basics. Connect with yourself. Find out what you're passionate about in life. Connect with your standards, your non-negotiables, your core values. And then, you know, make sure that you're in a very great place with yourself, loving you, loving what you do, and connecting to people that serve you, that add value to you.
Yeah, because loving yourself is easy because you're beautiful. Like, loving you is easy because you're beautiful, but then love you. All right, guys, have a good night. God bless. This is Togetherness Podcast. We are out until next week. Bye.
Bye.